Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Back with you for The Advertising Show. It is Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com. This is a Big Radio Midgets production, and we are working hard to provide you some great entertainment here. For the next hour, Diane Simony is our special guest. She'll be joining us here momentarily on The Advertising Show, and Diane is a great guest. Diane knows everything there is to know about outdoor advertising.
That's what we're claiming, anyway.
And then some, so it'll be fun. So, how's your week been so far? Pretty good?
So far, so good. Looking forward to a great weekend. How about yourself, Ray?
Oh, yeah, not bad. It's been busy, but all positively good, so that's great. We've got, have you heard about this? Vidal Sassoon. Good old Vidal. Here's a picture of Vidal. You can't see if this was TV.
Sure,
show you.
I can.
He's angry. Mm. This is an angry picture of Vidal Sassoon.
He's missing some hair, isn't he?
No, he's got plenty of hair.
Oh, okay.
He's just blonde, that's
gotcha.
All. Angered by a Procter & Gamble company decision earlier this year to at least temporarily discontinue marketing the shampoos, conditioners, and styling products bearing his name, legendary hairstylist Vidal filed suit against P&G alleging systematic neglect, mismanagement, sabotage, fraud, and breach of contract.
Hmm.
My goodness, he's an angry man.
Did they leave anything
out? He said he felt betrayed. No, that's about it. I trusted one of the world's most powerful marketing machines, P&G. When they assured me that my name represented a billion-dollar brand, instead they systematically decimated my brand, representing more than 50 years of my professional life, and I won't be buried.
Now, you're quoting, that's not your words, that's Vidal's. I just want to make sure we don't get sued here.
No, I'm not angry at all.
Yeah, and that's allegedly.
I think it's great.
That's
yeah.
Allegedly. P&G, they sued the pants off of you and me and everybody around us.
Oh, just you. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
you know, what did he think? Did he think he was not going to lose control of his product when you turn it over to a company like P&G?
I don't know. He said he alleges he is a contractual prisoner and seeks an order requiring P&G to sell the brand name back to him. Doggone it, give it back to me.
Well,
it's my ball.
They would probably suggest, Vidal, you need to look at your contract and maybe sue your attorney.
Yeah, the guy who penned the agreement originally.
Exactly.
Like, oops, we made a mistake.
You know, Diane Simony, who is out of New York and just moved recently from, I want to say, Westchester. We'll clear that up when we bring her on next segment. But she's now living in Lower Manhattan. And we were talking before the show, and gosh, is there really a bad restaurant in New York? I'm sure there are.
Oh, I'm sure there are, but there's probably not many.
I try to avoid them. There's a restaurant called Smith & Walensky's, and they've just recently launched, Ray, a new print campaign and TV focusing on your favorite subject, golf and golfers.
Yeah, I've seen the ads in Golf Magazine.
Yeah, the campaign is in conjunction with the opening of a Smith & Walensky's in Dallas and an upcoming restaurant here in Houston, our home market, and it is being featuring the golf star Craig Stadler.
Yeah.
Who is also known as the Walrus, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And Stadler apparently appears in humorous print and television ads. I don't know if you've seen any of the TV yet.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
No.
Apparently, it involves not only Stadler but also Smith & Walensky waiters. The campaign will run exclusively in golf media, including the Golf Channel, which I know you watch frequently, CBS, NBC, and ABC Network golf tournaments, and print vehicles, including Golf Digest, Golf Magazine, and Golf Week. I didn't know there were that many golf magazines. You read all three of those,
there
right?
There are too many golf magazines.
You read those three, Golf Digest, Golf Magazine, and Golf Week?
I only read Golf Magazine, and that's about it. Thank you.
Probably some of the maybe
that's the best one, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is. Well, it's interesting that they put the word golf in there, so they make sure that you know what you're talking about there.
But I've seen the ads, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's like a great restaurant.
Well, and I guess Smith & Walensky's has a great brand as well, very well-known restaurant.
Right.
I'm going to say it's over on 1st or 3rd or something like that. Anyway, it's a great restaurant.
Maybe Diane knows. We'll ask her.
We'll ask her, and we'll ask her to make us a reservation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a cool campaign from those folks. And they are it's the restaurant. They're not talking about a specific piece of meat or anything like that at the restaurant, are they? Or
according to this, it's both Stadler clowning around with waiters. So I imagine it's just getting into the concept of what a Smith & Walensky's is. And having eaten there in New York, it's a great piece of meat. and the service is outstanding. A little touristy, I would say, but also with the tourists, you see the local people in there as well, especially at lunchtime. But it'll be interesting to see how well that does in Dallas and Houston.
I wonder if Stadler has a piece of that restaurant, possibly.
Good question. A lot of times you bring in a star like that, a good way to get your rate down, if not nothing.
Yeah.
Cut them in a piece of that, actually.
See, Stadler is on the cusp of becoming a senior tour player, which is now called the Champions Tour.
Really?
So he's kind of in the dusk of his career with the PGA Tour.
Ties in with aged beef, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Aged beef. He's aged beef, no doubt
no,
about it.
No, the meat, yeah.
Gee, now he's going to sue you.
No.
No? Okay.
Yeah, that was Ray saying that.
Yeah, exactly. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, who just made the comment about Craig Stadler and aged beef.
Great golfer.
Back out of that one, pal.
Yeah.
Here's another one that we frequently have to back out of. It's Andy Borowitz. Andy is into the fake news, not the real news, so take this with a grain of salt. Here's Andy Borowitz on the Advertising Show.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for the Advertising Show. And now, here's this week's feature from the Borowitz Report.
In an effort to make his case to the American people that the economy is in fact recovering, President Bush held a White House press conference to show recently declassified satellite photos of a man being hired at Walmart. While the satellite images were somewhat fuzzy, the photos appeared to show a man walking out of a suburban Walmart with what the president described as employment papers in his hands. Based on these photos, it is clear that our economic plan is working, the president said, gesturing at the photo with a big pointer. This is the smoking gun we've been looking for. While the president claimed that the satellite photos helped connect the dots between his administration's tax cuts and a recovering economy, some Democrats in Congress said that the president's proof fell somewhat short of what had been promised. For this to be a true smoking gun, I would like to see a satellite photo of a man getting a tax cut and then getting a job, all in the same photo, said Senator Tom Daschle. More bad news from Mr. Bush came later in the day when satellite photo expert Dr. Donovan Mason of the Brookings Institution said that the papers in the man's hands were not employment papers at all, but were in fact walking papers. What we have here is a photo of a man who has just been fired. By the end of the day, the White House had downgraded the smoking gun from smoking to non-smoking.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from the Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to borowitzreport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
That is Andy Borowitz on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And if you're a brand new listener to the show, glad to have you as part of the show. We have a website where we stream our show live, and we also take our questions throughout the week there, too. It's theadvertisingshow.com is the place. Today, our special guest, Diane Simony. Diane will be joining us shortly after the break here.
You know, just in the short 1 minute we have left, I know you're a big fan of Lycra, Ray. I see you wear that frequently up here to the studios. DuPont kicked off a $40 million campaign for its Lycra brand recently. TV spots under the slogan, Lycra has it all. No, Lycra has it. Are due this fall. The campaign was designed by McCann Erickson New York. Lycra has two campaigns going, Ray. One's B2C, as in business to consumer, and B2B, as we all know, business to business. And here's the interesting part. B2B ads feature models dressed as bad imitators, so be looking for those soon.
Oh, we're talking cross-dressing here, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
You know me. Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care if I'm Elmer Fudd. So I carry an American Express card, the one card I need for travel and entertaining, for business and pleasure. Why, without this, the only way I'd get any attention is by saying, that's all, folks.
Mel Blanc. On the Advertising Show for the American Express card many years ago, of course, his son carries that tradition of being a voiceover guy.
Really?
I don't know how many Bugs Bunny cartoons that have been produced since then. I don't know, maybe none.
He does the voice, though, huh?
Yeah, and he sounds a lot like his dad, too, which is great. So there we go, a classic spot here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. About to join in conversation with Diane Simony. Let me tell you about Diane. If you don't know her, well, you should. Diane has been in the advertising business for longer than she cares to admit. That sounds right. She began her career at Airtime. It's a media buying service where she purchased time on radio and TV in local markets around the country. She left Airtime to head up media planning for the Canadian accounts of Dancer, Fitzgerald, and Sample, which was later acquired by Saatchi & Saatchi Advertising. And she, you said, Brad, she moved to New York, actually to New Jersey, and now she lives in Manhattan, right?
She just recently moved to Manhattan. We'll clarify that. I think she was in Westchester, New York before, but we'll clarify all that.
Diane, welcome to the show. Where are you today?
I'm in New York City in Tribeca.
Tribeca.
Yeah.
Lower Manhattan.
That's
wonderful.
Right, Lower Manhattan.
Did you move
not
from...
Not to be confused with Trifecta.
you should see who will get a prize here, but it was indeed Westchester County that I came from.
Okay, good. I'll take counties for 50, Alex.
Thank you.
Well, that's good. You know, Diane, before we get into some questions, I wanted to read a... item that I picked up on one of the newsletters that I subscribe to. A General Motors Pontiac division expanded its Fuel for the Soul ad campaign recently with a 25.5-foot by 202-foot projected image billboard in New York's Times Square. The billboard runs an entire block on Broadway between 51st and 52nd Streets and apparently is an outdoor effort that ties in with the New York International Auto Show happening soon at Javits. So have you seen the board?
Yes. I cannot believe you said that because I actually have a printout of the announcement about it. Basically, Hachette is the one who owns this billboard, and it is the largest billboard on Broadway.
Wow.
It's the largest one. You got the dimensions exactly right. And while they're not taking advantage of it, the billboard actually has the capability of doing video in the center, so streaming video, and also can tie into cell phone technology by selecting a three-digit number that permits you to get more information, take advantage of promotions, and so on and so forth.
You know, this is probably the billboard that she was not allowed to talk to the last time we spoke with her. Is that right? Technology that's out there that I can't tell you or I have to kill you.
Right. You know, I guess Times Square really is the mecca for all things cutting-edge outdoor, isn't it, Diane?
Absolutely. I mean, there certainly Times Square, it does that like no other. And also Los Angeles' Sunset Strip. Mm-hmm. It's sort of as if you bookend the countries in these two big cities, and it's sort of a snapshot about who's who in advertising and what's going on and what can be done. You know, some amazing stuff.
Just to give our audience a little sense of rates, if you happen to know, let's say you nothing as spectacular as the Pontiac board that we just described, but just a standard a spectacular board in Times Square. What would
that's
be
an oxymoron. Yeah. A standard spectacular.
Yeah. What is there? There's no standard.
There really is no standard. I mean, to be perfectly honest, you know, you're talking $100,000 on upward is the bells and the whistles and the digital technology
now
and video.
That's $100,000 per month, though.
Per month, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And you're saying that's notwithstanding the expense that a advertiser would invest in actually the execution, right?
Right. I mean, it's the sort of thing you do either in terms of a long-term investment, thus it's, you know, it pays out over time, or if you have a portfolio of brands or you want to really make a statement. I've called Times Square the Super Bowl of outdoor advertising.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. And I guess the big winner in outdoor in Times Square, in my opinion, would be Sony, who is the name above the, what do they call that, Supertron, or the actual, what do you call it, the screen there where it plays all of
it.
I mean
the one that wraps around is what
you're
talking
about. Yeah,
the wraps
around on the tower.
Well, I was thinking...
So it keeps getting eclipsed by newer and newer, you know, buildings that are coming up with you know, you have the Condé Nast building having technology on there. You have what's going on with digital displays that you can see for miles,
right.
Some of them. So.
Actually, I was talking about the screen that you see as you face FaceTime Square there from, north looking south.
I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what is it? And Sony has their logo above it, and it's the screen that you'll see on Saturday Night Live.
It's One Times Square.
One Times Square.
You know, kind of the main building that's right at the apex on 42nd Street, where Broadway and 7th Avenue converge.
Right. You know, for those that may not be familiar with some of the basics of outdoor advertising, we certainly know what the oldest profession is, right, Ray? So I guess
yes, we do outdoor advertising, Brad.
Well, that's
yes,
the no, that's Bob. The selling of outdoor advertising would
oh,
be the
I
oldest
see.
Profession,
right?
But outdoor really is the oldest medium out there, isn't it, Diane?
Yes, it is. I mean, just think of it. Just go into the caves and see what was on the walls there. I mean, it was the most essential form of communication.
Yeah,
and
Joe Camel was on the walls. I think.
I know a lot of people that did get ads back in those caves complained about the illumination difficulties that they had with.
It's one of those bring your own candle deals. Okay?
So, you know, people that may be familiar with outdoor but maybe not familiar with some of the basic terms. I know street furniture is a term that we here at the Advertising Show talk about frequently
right.
and are familiar with. Define that for our audience and then take them from street furniture on up to your
right,
standard
yeah.
outdoor.
You know, I mean, it is amazing, and obviously I can talk for a long time on this. I mean, it used to be posters and billboards and maybe a couple of sizes, and that was it. And in the last 20 years, and it's just been escalating, the media has sort of exploded into four different categories. I'll begin with street furniture, which basically is defined as any sort of advertising opportunity that comes equipped with an amenity, a consumer amenity that also pays back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, for an example, it would be a bus shelter or a phone kiosk or a newsstand. So, as you can see, it's sort of a win-win-win. The metro, the city ends up getting payment for having this unit there. The consumer ends up having sort of a better place to get their phone messages in to pick up a newspaper, and the advertiser has a sort of a captive audience.
Right.
So, and more, there's some really Ducot and Wall are they've actually come in from Europe and really revitalized, you know, this entire segment of the media.
Europe,
and that's just one.
Europe's pretty much further ahead in street furniture than the U.S., aren't they?
Oh yeah, because that was really something that was developed and used there a lot longer than it had been here. It's a relatively new phenomenon. I mean, bus shelters have been around about 25, 30 years, so not to take anything away from that. But the whole sort of portfolio of different types of structures, that's something that's sort of a European model, if you will.
Just in the short minute or so we have left, let's go to category two of the four you were mentioning.
Yes. The next one would be called alternative media, which is the whole broad spectrum of everything else that you can imagine. That's more sort of custom devices. For example, you can do advertising that is on gas pumps or on the back of valet parking tickets or stuff that's on the street. So this is more custom defined.
Mm-hmm.
I'll roll over into a third. I can get it in the transit. Transit is anything on the sides of buses, on train platforms, on trucks that roll by, so mobile trucks and such.
And we'll hold four to fill after the break, Diane.
Okay.
Sounds good. Diane Simony is our special guest here on the Advertising Show. President and media strategist of Simony Enterprises out of New York. That's where we're talking to Diane today. Coming up next week, by the way, we've got Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5 out of Westport, Connecticut. Patrick is kind of plugged in when it comes to the stealth marketing, and we'll be talking with him on the April the 19th, that is, here
really
on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. However, today, our special guest is Diane Simony. We'll be right back in just a minute. Got the wacky world of marketing on the way, too, so stay with us for that.
And now, it's time for the wacky world of marketing.
Wacky world of marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update for this week brings us to new frontiers in advertising, where a British ad agency began paying college students about $20 for each three-hour stint in which they walk around in public with a company's logo semi-permanently tattooed on their foreheads. And also, another British agency signed up Sony Ericsson to pay for draping its advertising message across large dogs like St. Bernard's, Great Danes, etc., whose owners accepted free dog walking service in public parks in exchange for allowing the moving billboards. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I'm Ewell Gibbons. Many consider me an expert on natural foods like cattails. Yes, they're edible. I look for natural ingredients in my food. That's why grape nuts is part of my breakfast. This is a wholesome cereal made from wheat and barley. These natural ingredients are baked into crunchy nuggets and fortified with 8 essential vitamins.
Hi, I'm Ewell Gibbons, and cattails are not good for you, okay?
I'm dead.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely no association with eating cattails and your imminent death. Okay?
Did he get one caught in his throat or what happened?
I don't know.
No?
Poor guy.
Yeah.
He's not here to defend himself,
but
so we need to leave him alone.
We know for sure it had nothing to do with grape nuts.
But at the point that he was doing those spots, was yeah.
He was an old guy.
And it certainly didn't hurt the sales of grape nuts flakes, that's for sure.
That's correct. Well, if you start with cattails and work your way up, grape nuts just
taste pretty doggone good.
Oh, man, do they.
Yeah, sirree. Yeah. Diane Simony is our special guest today. Diane is president and media strategist out of New York for Simony Enterprises, also the Outdoor Association, Advertising Association of America. OAAA.org is their website, and you can find out more about that. That's what we're talking about today with Diane, is outdoor advertising. Diane, as always, it's great to have you as a guest on The Advertising Show.
Oh, thank you. I love being with you guys.
Well, just before the break, we were going through the four categories, and to recap for those just perhaps joining us or to remind everyone, street furniture, category one, two being alternative media, which I really want to get in and talk a little bit more about in just a second, Diane, three, transit, and category four for outdoor would be
the most essential product, which is the billboards and posters.
Yeah.
That used to represent all of what outdoor was, and it's just exploded into these other areas. So we've kind of talked about them in reverse, but that is it. Those are the four categories.
And I think most people, when they think outdoor, they only think of billboards and posters, and,
right.
And that's so limiting to think that way. You mentioned alternative. Let's jump into that real quick.
Sure.
And for those that may not understand, it's real simple. Alternative media is just what it sounds like. It's anything that is unusual and out of the ordinary. I think when you go through turnstiles now, styles in a lot of places, stadiums, et cetera, you will see ads affixed to the actual pole there that you roll across. Gas pumps you mentioned as well as you're looking down at the or you're looking around, I guess, when you're filling your gas up. Now you can look down and say, oh, I want a hamburger.
Well, look at what they're doing with the actual screen, the computer screen on the gas pumps, too.
Exactly.
You know, you're probably thirsty. Come buy a soda.
And there's a company, I think it's a national company, Captivate, that does monitors and small monitors in elevators.
That's
talk about a captive audience there.
You're talking about with the televisions in the
Little television monitors that they'll give stock reports, they'll give little news ticker tape type thing, and then your ad appears on there, and it's, you know, instead of looking down when you're in the elevator, you look up at the screen and you get an ad.
Yeah.
What are some of the more innovative alternative media concepts or mediums that you've heard about lately?
They just keep coming onto the spectrum here, and one of the things, one that does come to mind is one called Submedia, which actually is sort of if you imagine a flip card usage of images, you know, the little flip books where you get the images in front of you,
mm-hmm.
They've designed this technology that they're able to put it in subways so that as people are going from station to station, out the window, you see an unfolding image movie,
I think I've seen that before. I saw it on a train going from Manhattan to, I believe it was Westchester, now I think about it.
Probably to New Jersey, because it was on the Hoboken Connection.
Yeah.
They actually had one. But I think the whole, just to stand back for a minute, the whole alternative segment is sort of redefining what advertising is about. It's blurring all of your, you know, state definitions of this is outdoor advertising, this is print media, this is radio, this is television, because in a way it pulls in all the available communication devices and thinks from the inside out. In other words, who's our target? Now, how do we develop something that is actually going to be particularly meaningful for this particular target audience,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just generally getting out there and communicating. So it really just depends on who your target is. If you think in terms of what different types of interest someone might have, for example, on golf course, there's a new media. I can't talk much about it because it's one of my clients.
Oh, here we go again. Yeah, yeah, okay.
She should call
that's coming out with something that's going to be on, on the golf courses, which ends up being something visual, something interactive, and something that offers a benefit.
Hmm. Let's see. It has to do with the GPS.
Just by recognizing and getting something from it. So it's multi-tiered, if you will.
You know, every time we have Diane on, she tells us about something she can't
elaborate.
She
can't talk about. Yeah. I know.
We
can guess, though, can't we? Diane, it has to do with the little computer screen on the golf course cart, and it has, it has messages coming through there.
Actually, that isn't one. I'll have to tell my client that they should be considering that as well.
And it would also have a value to the golfer because it would say how far in advance the next party is, the golfing group.
Some of these golf carts, actually, you can order at the cart ahead, for instance,
exactly.
At a little snack shop.
That's
a great
exactly
idea.
Exactly right. Hmm. So since the technology exists, it's a matter of harnessing it. It's a matter of making it relevant for a marketer and also for the end consumer, because often that's where it starts falling apart. You can have great ideas, but they have to be more than great ideas. They have to be ideas that are relevant and meaningful to the consumer.
Well, when we come back after the break, I want to talk to you about if it is all possible in your mind, being a media strategist focusing in on outdoor, that outdoor advertising, and in particular alternative outdoor, can sometimes be too invasive.
Mm.
Good question. We'll talk more about that with Diane Simony, President and Media Strategist of Simony Enterprises, the Outdoor Advertising Association of America, too, here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We're going to take a break for some commercials. What a good concept. We'll be right back.
Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth are taking your questions at theadvertisingshow.com. You're listening to The Advertising Show on the SSI Radio Network.
When we decided to get a testimonial for Scotty's, we went right to the top.
Achoo! 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 That's what I like about a Scotty. It's a tree sneezer.
There you go, a classic spot on The Advertising Show from James Durante from way back when, too. A perfect person
match
for the spot.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You see the nose, see the schnoz, you think, well, that's Jimmy Durante.
I think you need a bigger Kleenex.
Yeah, with Jimmy Durante, you need at least two or three, that's for sure.
Oh,
Diane Simony is our special guest. Diane is president and media strategist of Simony Enterprises. We're talking to Diane in Manhattan today.
Yeah. Right. And before the break, Diane, you were explaining the various alternative media out there, and I began to think, is it possible that you could ever become too invasive with alternative media? Is there a point where it actually begins to work against the product or service?
Yeah, of course. I mean, in other words, this whole new segment, if you will, is one that typically is having a lot of companies come up and through, and ones that have strong concepts that are smartly developed survive, and others kind of fall to the wayside. So, of course, you can overdo it. There's such a thing as overkill. I mean, if you have poor synergy, for example, between the space that you're working with and the place and are not considering who you're speaking to and at what time, you can turn people off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less about what it is and how it's used. And I think, importantly, you should look in any kind of media opportunity not to interrupt the consumer, but to seduce them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of really how smartly you can use this opportunity. Just because the technology is there doesn't mean you should use it.
Right.
And, you know, I might actually mention here, I know you've mentioned the OAAA's website, but which is OAAA.org. I really do suggest, because there's so much here, for anyone listening to do visit the website. All the member companies, which represent the really broadly everyone who's anyone in business, are hot linked and organized by type of product you know, it makes the negotiation and navigation of this very easy.
Are there also tips for media buyers?
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of, you know, how to, what things cost, how they work together, visuals, a creative library. So, you know, so much more than we could possibly cover, you know, on the show today.
Well, it's very good to know that an outdoor person can do an audio shameless plug for their for their organization. Yeah, we do have an email question that came in through the week anticipating you being a guest today, Diane.
Right.
And Stephanie, apparently an advertising executive, I'm guessing she's coming out of the creative end or she wouldn't have had this question. Mm-hmm. She asks, I've seen clever brands with a few words of copy and others with several words of copy. What's the magic number when it comes to copy on a billboard?
Any creative would know there's no such thing as rules.
Mm-hmm.
However, having asked that question, the classic answer to that is 7 or less words should be used. Mm-hmm. However, you can do a billboard that's filled with words if your point is, look at what happens if you do too many words, you know, using the words almost as a visual imagery.
Mm-hmm.
But the best creative, which, again, you can find this on the website, the best creative is crisp and clear, has good use of color so that you make sure that it's visible at a distance. I think one of the worst errors made in developing outdoor creative is thinking you're producing a print ad, and
mm-hmm.
it's not. It's just not. You can't blow up a print ad, however wonderful it is, and expect it to work outdoors.
I think that's a good point. Many, I've seen executions of that. I know you have as well, and it's sad because it's sad for the medium. It's sad for the advertiser because invariably it doesn't work. I've grouped up the email questions as they've come through and in the category of creative. We have another one that came mm-hmm. through earlier in the week. Bruce asked, what about color? Are there ever a situation where a black and white execution is actually more effective than color?
Oh, absolutely. A number of some of the best campaigns, do you remember the God campaign?
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the most successful campaigns, certainly in recent history. And it was really just, you know, black on white.
And no graphic either, just
absolutely,
words.
Absolutely, yeah.
What about that
sometimes,
campaign?
In a way, standing out means being a little different from the rest. So simplicity is key.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have a strong concept, the simpler the execution, the more powerful.
Hmm. Were you going to ask a question, Ray, on that?
Yeah, about the God campaign. Is that still going on, or has that been?
No,
that
kind of ran its course, and then there was an issue at the agencies with ownership changes and all of that. So. Now it's past history.
You know, staying with the creative thought there, Ray and I reported several months ago about a local advertiser in our home market getting an award for ripping off the Got Milk campaign, and they did a Got Something Else. I thought that wasn't as lacking creative execution.
Diane Simony, our special guest on the Advertising Show, president and media strategist of Simony Enterprises. Find out more at OAAA.org. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and we'll be right back.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
What's up? Dino's stolen the different vitamins we need to make Flintstones.
Yabba dabba doo, yabba dabba doo. Flintstone vitamins are good to chew with vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Help your body work and grow right.
We put them all together to make...
There you go, some cartoon characters that we know, grew up with, too. The
Flintstones,
Fred
yeah.
and Barney and everybody in there, too.
Yabba dabba doo.
A classic spot, and lots of people ate those vitamins,
mm-hmm.
and they're still made today, I do believe.
Really?
I don't know. Probably won't find them at GNC.
True.
But you find them at your local store. So a classic spot in the Advertising Show. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, happy to be back with you. Diane Simony is an incredibly informative person when it comes to outdoor advertising. And there are so many things to talk about, and we enjoy that conversation.
You know, I had the pleasure, and I know you have too, Ray, to log on to OAAA.org, and it is a great site. And for anyone interested in following up on this subject matter, please log on to OAAA.org.
OAAA.org.
As opposed to our Hispanic friends, aha.
As opposed to 0AAA.org.
Yes. You know, we were just talking about outdoor. Ask Jeeves. You probably probably remember Ask Jeeves. They just kicked off an outdoor campaign in San Francisco and New York and Los Angeles. It was an in-house campaign, Ray, that's designed to help raise awareness of the engine and the engine's ease of use and relevant results. And what's interesting about this is that the Los Angeles campaign will appear on side bus panels and read "The Leading Man of Search," and phone kiosk will read "Search Star" as opposed to "Star Search." So I thought it was a clever execution. There's an example of transit and street furniture that we were just talking about.
Whatever happened to Lycos? Remember, Lycos had the dog, too. Is that still a search?
That's a good question. I don't know. Apparently, they need to advertise. They're not reaching you or me, and I guess we're candidates for
it was
that.
It was a great spot, though.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
A long time ago. It was a TV ad. Dog went to fetch stuff for you very quickly. Very cool. Very cool.
Fetch was his name, I think.
I don't know. No? See, that's the problem. We don't even know his name.
Yeah.
Well, no, his name was Lycos.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, you log on to fetch.com.
Whatever.
There is a search engine, I think.
Fetch. Really?
I think it's something like that. Again, we've totally confused everybody at this point.
Including ourselves.
You want to do the good?
Do I want to do the good?
Yeah.
No, I really don't want to do the good.
No?
See here, I'm reaching for the remote again. Okay.
Oh, I'd love to surprise you. I'd love to surprise you.
Every now and then we have an opportunity to showcase the good advertising, the not so good advertising. Once again, this is not an opportunity to slam somebody or, you know, to give a free plug to somebody else.
Right.
It's just to help you do a better job. Here we go.
And now it's time for the Advertising Show's Advertising Showcase, an outstanding example of on-target advertising for the good stuff. Here's Ray and Brad.
Just like you said, what you got good this week?
Well, Ray, DSW, most people in major markets across America are familiar with Discount Shoe Warehouse. Cliff Freeman and partners out of New York came up with, I think, an outstanding execution. And of course, I caught this on adcritic.com, which is a wonderful site to be able to review creative and actually see streaming video there. The spot, which is entitled Feeding Frenzy, it begins with showing customers, mostly women, browsing, maybe I shouldn't say browsing, maybe I should say on the hunt for shoes. And there's no on-screen dialogue, but it's a total voiceover TV spot with jungle percussion soundtrack, as you can imagine, with the bong bongs and a lot of underneath and maybe some wild sounds to it. And the announcer begins by reading the spot, and he does it with a little bit of a slight British accent, but not so British that it's getting in the way of the read. And he says something along the lines of, "The feeding frenzy is one of the most spectacular displays seen in nature." And then he goes on to talk about the pack gathers around a particularly coveted prey, so on and so forth. And as we're seeing quick shots of these people shopping for shoes in this large warehouse kind of environment, and women looking over the shoulder of another woman wanting that pair of shoes that she has and can't get to them, and the copy closes by way of saying, "This season's name brand shoes at incredible prices, DSW, get more shoes." Now, in my opinion, this spot becomes the advertiser showcase simply because it captures the shopping experience, certainly for those familiar with the DSW stores, but it also, for those that have not gone to a DSW, you really get a sense of not only the store but the shopping experience. So it really speaks to both the customer and non-customer as well, and I think Cliff Freeman has done an outstanding job with DSW. So I'm sure when you see that commercial, it'll really jump out at you as it did for me.
And hopefully you have that in your market, too, to opportunity to shop DSW. It is a great store. Lots of selection, and it is a great spot. I've seen the spot, too. Do you think there's a downside to the spot, though, talking about a frenzy? Sometimes people who, you know, would not want to go to a sale and or a place that would cause a lot of people to near riot.
That's a good point. They do make a point to show that there's plenty of space between people, and although I know what you're saying because I've seen DSW having a sales event, and there's a lot of cars up front, and I imagine it is kind of crazy like that, but they make a point to really illustrate the kind of, looking over the shoulder, "I wish I could get that pair that she has in her hands right now," and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so just don't want to have to scramble for this stuff.
Exactly.
And enjoy the experience. A good spot, though. I totally agree with you there. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Thanks again to our guest, Diane Simony, president and media strategist, Simony Enterprises. Want to find out more about what outdoor advertising is all about? Go to this website. It's OAAA.org. That's OAAA.org. Along with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe, the Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production on the SSI Radio Network.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
And if we can spend the next hour together, that would be absolutely phenomenal. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe on The Advertising Show. The Advertising Show is being sponsored by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit them online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe, and our special guest this hour, Diane Simony, president and media strategist of Simony Enterprises out of New York. We'll be talking with Diane about outdoor advertising for the next hour, and it should be an eye-opening experience. Get it, Brad? Eye-opening?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, thanks. Thanks. Anyway, good to be back with you, and we always sometimes highlight some of the cartoon characters who produce spots for television and radio for specific products. For instance, the Flintstones with the Flintstones vitamins,
right.
Mel Blanc, all that kind of good stuff. A $10 million hand and cartoon characters by its side, spark plug maker Autolite is returning to television advertising for the first time in nearly a decade, so they're back on the board. The new ads, which are breaking very soon, acerbic animated characters of the Fox TV series King of the Hill. Have you seen those guys?
Sure. That's one of my favorite programs.
Well, the cartoon series is an adult satire centered around the daily life and travails of a propane gas delivery man working in a working-class Texas town, if you haven't been familiar with that. So Hank Hill and friends will be pitchmen for Autolite products and ads that adopt the look and feel of the animated show. That's going to be great.
I like Hank. Well, I can't do Hank.
What the?
Yeah. It's a great show. I don't know about you, Ray, but if you live in the South, that's something that you got to watch.
That's your show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, you know, every week, at least most weeks, we try to feature a little something we call Headlines from The Tonight Show,
yes.
Which is, of course, posted at nbc.com/The Tonight Show.
We appreciate the fact that Jay Leno actually brings them to our studios here.
You know,
what a nice guy.
He dropped this off and today.
Also brought some pastry by this morning. Wonderful.
You know, it's interesting. Since we're talking about outdoor this hour, it's kind of like outdoor. It's a classified ad, and there's an ad right below.
Just like outdoor, only smaller.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's right below a 1991 Plymouth Voyager classified ad, and it's just one of those all-type ads, not a car ad, but an all-type ad. And apparently this person is wanting to give away clothing. So the headline reads, "Free women's clothing." And now we're going with sizes, fat, medium fat, 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 one article per person, appointment only. So I don't know why. How many women are going to actually stop by and get that clothing if they want to word it that way?
Someone who is fat, medium fat, or fat, fat.
I don't understand that. But anyway, it's I'm not sure I understand this, but there's one other classified that it's talking about a particular announcement in the Winby News Times, and it says, in a special tribute of all the men who've led the nation, Oak Harbor won't pick up garbage Monday.
Okay.
So that's something to be
well,
honored by.
Let me write that down.
So you're not going to get your garbage picked up because we're going to honor the men of our nation. Anyway, funny stuff. We call that repurposing here on the Advertising Show.
And, I thought it was called ripping him off, but that's something different,
I suppose.
Well,
not everybody can watch that program.
That's true. So it's a public service from the Advertising Show.
I'm usually watching Letterman anyway. What about you?
Yeah, likewise.
We can't say that.
I love Letterman.
I do, too.
Letterman back on the on his show, too, feeling much better, bringing his dermatologist on, much the way he brought his heart specialists on.
Big
that
ratings.
Wonderful.
Huge ratings for him that first night back a few Mondays ago.
He got cedar shake shingles, I guess is what he got, right? right?
Tarred and feathered.
Asphalt.
Yeah.
But he's glad to have Dave back.
Apparently,
I didn't know that
disease was related to stress. It has something to do with smallpox.
Was
that what it was?
Chickenpox, not smallpox.
Well, yeah. So if you had chickenpox as a youngster.
Yeah, and then most of us did. You had chickenpox, I'm sure.
I remember the mumps. So that's about it.
Ooh.
But anyway... anyway, the supposedly that there's some tie-in with stress, they say, that as an adult, if you get stressed out, you
can get chicken. You can get shingles.
The shingles, yeah. Not shingles, the shingles.
Especially if you're a roofer.
Oh, my goodness.
We've got Jeffrey Gittimer on the way here in this quarter hour. Jeff is the guy who makes so much sense when it comes to marketing your product. It doesn't matter whether it's outdoor, indoor, on the radio, or just face-to-face. Listen to Jeffrey and learn something right now.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations with Jeffrey Gittimer, nationally syndicated columnist in the network of City Business Journals and other great publications worldwide. If you're offended by common sense commentary, don't you dare listen. Now, here's Jeffrey.
Having moved from the north, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, to the south, Charlotte, North Carolina, has helped me understand the value of business friends. They're much easier to establish in the south, and they're much more loyal. If you're friends with your best customer, it will often eliminate the need for price checking, price negotiating, and delivery time demands. And there's another huge bonus to being friends. Competition is eliminated, Billy Bob. Your best competition couldn't blast you away from a customer who's also a friend, Bubba. I'm often in conventions where someone is lamenting the fact that they can't get into around the so-called good old boy network. That's the biggest bunch of baloney and the lamest sales excuse I've ever heard. All the salesperson is saying is he has failed to bring anything of value to the table, and he's failed to establish a relationship or make a friend, and someone else has. You can only earn a commission using a sales technique, but you can earn a fortune building friendships and relationships.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations from The Advertising Show, the only radio show in America featuring Jeffrey Gittimer as a regular weekly guest. To learn more about his books, tapes, CDs, and speaking engagements, log on to Gittimer.com, Gittomer.com. And tune in next week when we'll hear Jeffrey say,
"This is Jeffrey Gittimer reminding you that if no one responds to your ad, it may be because your ad sucks."
Always some good advice from Jeffrey Gittimer, and said so well succinctly, Bubba.
Yeah, it's too bad he's so laid back and doesn't really speak his mind, huh?
That's too bad. Jeffrey Gittimer on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. About to start up a discussion here with Diane Simony about outdoor advertising and some of the traditional and not-so-traditional things that you find with outdoor advertising. We're streaming live on the web at theadvertisingshow.com. This is a good place to send your questions to The Advertising Show throughout the week. Of course, this is a weekend program on your radio station, but theadvertisingshow.com is our address, and you can address your questions to Brad and Ray at that location.
And you can do it both live during the broadcast as you're listening now, if you're listening online, or in your car. Pull over, pull your laptop. Yes. Anyway.
There's another thing, too, with these cell phones now. You can call us.
Leave a message.
And leave an email.
That's
exactly
true. But the interesting part about our new website is that you can log on Monday through Friday and also get a question to us through the week.
And you will not find Solitaire on the website, I don't think, fun and games.
That's true. You know, with Diane coming on, the Outdoor Advertising Association of America is having a national convention June 8th through 10th. And I'm going to ask Diane what we would expect to see if we were to be so lucky to attend that event. And I want to say that it's happening in New York, but we'll get clarification. No, it's Washington, D.C., I think. Yeah.
Pretty close to New York.
Washington, D.C.
So that's coming up. What is the date on that?
June 8th through 10th.
We're going to talk to Diane here in just a minute on The Advertising Show. We'll get her back on the phone here with us in just a moment. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. And we like that. Stick around. Oh, yeah.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Good morning. Oh, you're not my daisies.
Right, Mother Nature. They're Chiffon's new Daisy Servers. Taste.
Oh, it's my sweet, creamy butter.
Nope, it's new chiffon margarine. Chiffon has the fresh churned flavor of butter.
It's chiffon margarine, not butter. Oh, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Well, get on the wrong side of that lady, and you're in deep trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Mason Adams, the voice on that spot. I don't recall who the lady was, though. That's too bad.
Yeah.
But it's chiffon, Mother
Nature.
Well, her name was Mother
Nature.
Mother Nature.
Right.
The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Diane Simony about to join us here on the Advertising Show. Diane is president and media strategist with Simony Enterprises. If you want to go online and you have the capability of doing that right now, you can do it at oaaa.org. That's the web address for the Outdoor Advertising Association of America. Diane, thanks so much for being on our show today.
I'd love to.
Diane, you being a media strategist, whatever that means, huh, Ray? That's just a way to send out expensive bills to your clients, isn't it?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Simony Enterprises, a media strategist with a huge background in advertising and marketing throughout your career. Ray failed to mention that you are a graduate of Hunter College in New York City with degrees in mathematics and philosophy.
That's right.
So if you want to philosophize...
All the better to analyze and philosophize about your work.
Well, that's an interesting point. The I was going to ask you as an opening question to this hour's interview, you know, billboards, generally when you think of a billboard and you see the execution of a nice quality, creative, outgoing billboard that really catches your attention, I think you see so many other executions that just fall flat, or you ask yourself, the type is too small, I can't read it, or you go by 10 boards that don't grab your attention, and then when one does, it really stands out. Why do you think when it comes to outdoor, and I don't know if it's true of other media, I feel that it errs more frequently and not providing a proper execution for its advertisers than much other media that I'm exposed to? What do you think?
You hit something right on the head. I mean, the thing about outdoor advertising is it requires incredible discipline and the ability to kind of succinctly come right to the core of what a brand is about, and to do that both strategically and visually. And it really is a very challenging medium to create for, and unfortunately, all too often, the creative resources of an agency aren't put behind it. It's often thought of as an afterthought. Which is why there's certain agencies who actually do outstanding work because they do more of it, and that's why you have that situation.
So there are some agencies that excel in creative executions and others that just are average?
Yeah, I mean there are those that really have been doing outdoor or have devoted themselves to outdoor. The Martin Agency is an example. Certainly TBWA Shite Day. I mean not that they have not done other incredible, outstanding work, but they have done it. A new agency that's only been out a couple of years, Boone Oakley, does great work.
Mm-hmm.
These are the agencies, and there's many others, that get Obie Awards year after year, and because they really know how to do it. They get it. They know how to work the space.
You know, it's interesting because if you pay a static price, as they do in outdoor advertising, and you get an outstanding advertising execution, you actually exceed the value of what you're paying for the medium itself, aren't
True
you?
True
sure?
words, I couldn't speak myself. No,
yeah.
that's you're dead on. I mean, it's in some ways an undervalued media, and in other ways even an underpriced medium.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have great creative, incredible buzz you get, there's press you get, there's memorability. You know, it's one of those things that's kind of seed themselves. But the creative is really integral.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very important to, as I mentioned, work the space. So it's one of those media where a very good marriage between media and creative sort of results in the best execution. It can't be done sort of in silos, somebody doing the creative and then the media just placing it blindly.
Mm-hmm.
You best creating for the space it's going to go on.
You know, as we're talking about creative, Judy just sent a an email while we were speaking live here on the show, and wants to know about, let me paraphrase her question, outdoor being a visual medium, she's seen many advertisers try to replicate their product on a billboard. How do you talk a client, apparently she's with an ad agency, how do you talk a client out of putting their product on their billboard? Because I guess speaking for Judy here, It's too bad because many clients get so hung up in what they sell. They think that they're wasting their money if they do not put their product on the board. But yet the truth is that maybe it doesn't play well on the board, or more importantly, you don't need a product on a billboard.
You are so right. There is a wonderful, wonderful old presentation it's about six PowerPoint slides, and I'd be happy to send it to anyone who's interested in terms of anyone who is trying to sell a client, and it's called How to Turn an OB Award-Winning Execution into a Park and Read. Okay? So you start with an image and a tagline, and it's good and it's vibrant, and then the client innocently, you know, says, gee, can't we just put the hours we're open in? You know, how about the exit that you get off on?
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
There's
going to be these new attractions. And before you know it, you literally have to pull the car over to the side if you're going to take it all in.
That's something you can transform to any media, really, when you talk about it. You've got a client
less
with
is
a
more.
Yeah, a television spot, a radio ad, whatever. Less right. is less is more.
Focus. You know,
if someone wanted to access that information, would they find that at OAAA.org?
It should be on the website, and if not, they just have to go and do info@OAAA.org and ask for the Park and Read summary.
And you mentioned OBEs. For those not familiar with OBEs,
yeah, right.
So why don't you share with our audience?
Yeah, the OBE Awards are the Creative Excellence Program for the outdoor advertising. It's the oldest awards program actually in the ad business, mm-hmm. and it basically honors that work which is the best of the lot in the year prior.
And that's sponsored by OAAA as well?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's an OAAA event, and the event is actually, the judging took place a couple of weeks ago, and the event is going to be held in Washington as part of the national convention at the Grand Hyatt on June 11th.
Well, maybe
10th and 11th is when the program is going on.
I'm looking at an Outdoor Revolution direct mail piece that
right.
I received, and it says June 8th through 10th.
That's right.
So the event, the convention and trade show is 8th through 10th, but the OBE Awards are when?
Well, the OBE Awards, yeah, actually there's a wrap-up on the morning of the 11th. The actual gala takes place the evening of Tuesday, June 10th at the Grand Hyatt in Washington.
I see.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, since you mentioned the OBEs during the next segment, if you can give us maybe a sneak preview of some of the winners of this year's OBE Awards. I don't know if you can do that either.
I really can't.
You can't?
Not
see,
Diane.
You,
not Diane.
You could have saved that and told us that you can't next segment, and then our audience
friends,
is held through the commercial break. anyway, let me do this. In the short time that we have left, a very quick quick question here. It's an email question, and let me get over here to it. Jennifer writes, when it comes to advertising, so many times advertisers' expectations are greater than reality dictates. When it comes to outdoor, how important is patience when it comes to an advertiser's commitment to an effective outdoor campaign?
Patience in terms of running a long campaign?
Correct. I think that's what she means, yes.
Yeah. Well, I tell you the truth. I believe outdoor actually works rapidly. So in a way, like all advertising, depending on the nature of the communication,
right.
if it's branding, it takes longer to see it. If it's promotion, more quickly.
Right.
But outdoor is one of those things that has a very fast build of reach and frequency. So you should see results fairly quickly if the creative is good.
We have more email coming in. We'll get to those questions right after the break, Diane.
Okay.
It's Diane Simony, our special guest here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Diane is president and media strategist with Simony Enterprises. Today we're talking about outdoor advertising. You can find out more by going to OAAA.org. Also want to find out what the Good, Bad, and Ugly Awards are, too.
Yeah.
That'll be a bunch of fun, too. If you can stay with us here on the Advertising Show, that would be absolutely fine with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. So stick around.
Time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update for this week brings us to new frontiers in advertising, where a British ad agency began paying college students about $20 for each three-hour stint in which they walk around in public with a company's logo semi-permanently tattooed on their foreheads. And also, another British agency signed up Sony Ericsson to pay for draping its advertising message across large dogs like St. Bernards, Great Danes, etc., whose owners accepted free dog walking service in public parks in exchange for allowing them moving billboards. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. You're listening to The Advertising Show on the SSI Radio Network.
Cut. Reload.
That's a complicated-looking machine, isn't it? Funny thing is, a lot of people still think that taking home movies is that complicated, too. If that were true, believe me, I wouldn't take them. For instance, he's reloading the film. Let me show you how easy Kodak has made it for you and me with a Kodak Instamatic movie camera.
Home movies used to be a big thing. They still are. They're just in a different format now. They've gotten a heck of a lot easier, too.
And who was that,
Pop Dick? In the disc. That's Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Yeah. On The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And our special guest today, Diane Simony, live from Manhattan. And, of course, we're live, too.
Right.
Yes, we are.
Yep.
From the Deep South. We talked a little bit before about the Good, Bad, and the Ugly Awards, teased it just a little bit. What are the Good, Bad, and the Ugly Awards? Well, let's before we do that, and we talk to Diane, let's talk about this. Catfight, the commercial created by WPP Group's Olga B. and Mather out of New York for Miller Lite Beer. Mm-hmm. You like that one, don't you? Not. Has won the Advertising Women of New York's Grand Ugly
right.
Award as the piece of television advertising that portrayed women in the most offensive manner during the past year. And I think everybody, including Bob Garfield, would agree on that, including Diane, I'm sure. The dubious honor was bestowed as part of AWNY's annual Good, Bad, and Ugly Award ceremony at the Copacabana.
That's cool. Correct.
Yeah. MediaMarkt, a German company whose print advertisement showed a woman with three breasts and the tagline, "There's more inside than you think," won the Grand Ugly for the print. The ad created by an agency that really doesn't matter.
I dated her.
Uh-huh.
Still in Germany.
Oh, yeah, they are. Taking home a good award for television advertising was General Motors Corporation for its humorous, somewhat sassy TV spot featuring a real-life female engineer who wows some bikers with her ability to maneuver a GMC truck. And we all remember that one. Remember that spot?
The woman with the three breasts, I bought her a bratwurst several weeks ago.
Did you really?
In New York.
Glad to hear that.
You know, Diane's a member of that organization.
Right, you're co-chair of the Good, Bad, and Ugly. Was that a pretty fun thing to be a part of?
It really is. It absolutely is. Because it doesn't take itself terribly seriously, but it does raise awareness in terms of how marketers are talking to women. And it's really not a matter to act as a police person, but, like, what are some of these marketers thinking? I mean, who are they selling to? Some of the sophomoric humor that goes on is fine if you're selling to, you know, teenage boys, and that might work, depending on what you're doing. But there are other products that are just missing the mark, and it becomes an insider joke for creative directors and a great waste of an advertiser's money.
So do you go along with the results of this thing?
Well, given that I was part of the judging team, I have to say, more or less, yes.
Hmm. Who all was on the panel of judges along with you, Diane?
It was really a pretty wide spectrum of judges. I mean, people from the ad business, publishers, you know, Myrna Blythe, who's a publisher at Meredith. You have a professor for advertising at Hofstra University. Mm-hmm. And people from Merrill Lynch and a filmmaker and so on and so forth. It was a fairly long list of judges.
Hmm. And a variety of backgrounds, it sounds like.
Exactly.
When we were talking just before the break about advertising, outdoor advertising in particular, and patience, an email came up through the website at theadvertisingshow.com, and I want to paraphrase here. Jim out of Palm Springs, California, is asking the question about direct response advertising. Let me just very briefly, DR, what's also known as DR, direct response, usually is for those that are not familiar with this, has a strong call to action component, usually a toll-free phone number. You see it a lot on long-form television as well as radio commercials where they do ask for a call now type of call to action. And James is asking, can outdoor be used as an effective direct response advertising medium?
Oh, absolutely. It was done, and it's been done a number of times, and it was actually, it goes back a few years, if I remember this correctly. There was actually one done for DNA, trying to find out who the father
was. Who's the father?
Was. I feel like it was done in Houston.
Yeah, that company actually originates here in Houston.
Almost sure it did, and it got tremendous response by having an 800 number on the board. And if you think of it, now, granted, it wasn't the only component, but the whole finding of Elizabeth Smart, there were billboards out there, you know, kind of announcing who she was and what she might look like. And here's where advertising, and certainly outdoor in particular, can really be used in ways far beyond what you might originally imagine.
Well, you know, the Who's the Father campaign, when that came out several years ago here in Houston, our executive producer, Bruce Abbott, moved. Now, I don't know what the tie-in is there, but I just wanted to mention that. When we were talking about earlier about...
That was Who's Your Daddy.
Oh, that's... I'm sorry. That was a Father's Day campaign. You know, when you think about it, we're on the radio here, and you talk about outdoor, and of course, where do you see outdoor? On the freeways and on the thoroughfares across any major city
outdoors,
in America.
Yeah, sure.
Would you say, Diane, that radio matches well with outdoor? I mean, are those two
Absolutely.
Complementary media that you encourage? Or
Definitely. I mean, outdoor and radio actually blend beautifully. I mean, when you think about it, they really go hand in glove because one is a visual medium and the other one it provides sort of the audio component. And in fact, there are even increasingly, granted they're one-off here or there, executions that actually draw you to a radio signal that might be, in the case of some, actually customized for that billboard. It'll say tune into. This was done actually in California for one of the malls that were out there, and it this one of the centers that are out there, and it really works very well.
That's outdoor advertising for radio. Imagine that. They work together. On the Advertising Show is Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We'll be back with Diane Simony in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Colgate toothpaste, the tooth toughener. How can that be? Well, it contains advanced MFP fluoride. It's the only toothpaste that does, and it does toughen tooth enamel.
One of the grandfathers of radio advertising,
too. Have so many cavities.
The patriarchs, I guess, too. Arthur Godfrey. Selling Colgate. And I'm listening to that spot. I think one thing comes clear, very clearly through, is the fact that simplicity in telling the truth always works, it always has, and it always will.
You know, Arthur has one guy that still looks up to him. That would be Paul Harvey.
Yeah. Carried on the tradition.
Yes, he does an outstanding job.
Hope he's having a good day.
Yeah.
Diane Simony is our special guest on The Advertising Show. Diane is president and media strategist with Simony Enterprises, talking to us out of Manhattan today. And if you'd like to find out more about the Outdoor Advertising Association of America and find some useful tools on that site as well, it's oaaa.org. And we are talking with Diane back.
Let's take a diversion here in the last segment that we have. Diane, you're a media strategist. A lot of people probably wonder what in the world does a media strategist do. Why don't you share with our audience, what does a media strategist do? And also, in today's economic climate, what's the most challenging part about being a media strategist?
Well, you know, to start with the end, what you just said, it kind of reminds me of the segment that came earlier. I've been in business for about a year and a half now, and everything's moving along very nicely. And a lot of it, in fact, most of it has really been word of mouth. So there's always a need, and to me, it's about matchmaking. And both the work that I do, and as well as, you know, amassing clients, it has to do with really trying to simplify and find relevancy from highly complex products in terms of how you position them and how you talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
with advertising today, it is such a complex arena, and you need to be positioning what you have in the clearest light, in the most meaningful light, and that's sort of what I think of what I do as being a matchmaker.
Well, you know, Ray, she said she's built her business in the past few years on word of mouth. I'm not going to put her on the spot and ask her why she doesn't use a billboard to promote her services.
I was hoping you wouldn't.
You know
say
what? I want to offer a piece of advice here. You know, we talked earlier about the Good, Bad, Ugly Awards. If there's one, you know, advertising aside, of course, that's the business we're in. But I want to underline the great importance of being involved in associations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very active in several ad associations here in New York, and you know, as well as the AMA, the New York chapter, and all. And it is just the best way to connect with other people who are in a business and hear what's going on firsthand. And no matter what it is, if you get nothing else from today's broadcast, become active and involved in your association, whatever industries you're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
It really pays out.
Good point.
That's good advice. You know, earlier in the segment, last segment, Ray, we were talking about radio matching up well with outdoor. When you think about it, what medium do radio stations use most in promoting their own station?
Yeah.
Outdoor.
Yeah.
I was
going to
tell you.
Yeah, you see it all over. Speaking of promoting yourself, do you think outdoor advertising companies do a very effective job of marketing themselves to advertisers and the ad community in general, Diane?
Mm, that's a loaded question, of course.
And I'm a little
we
loaded.
We only
right
ask
now.
Loaded questions.
Yeah,
Diane.
I know
Ray,
it. I know
Ray
it.
Was
that's
drinking
that's
before the
program. That's how you guys
so
are. But no,
loaded.
I have to say, quite honestly, you know, they're in the advertising business, and unfortunately, I don't think they take as much advantage. And, you know, it could be there's been so much changes going on, so much consolidation
right.
and new ownerships that there hasn't been an opportunity. But they got the best venues in town. Use them. Brand yourself.
The two big companies, Viacom Outdoor and Clear Channel Outdoor, I guess those would be the two majors,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. I mean, they're multimedia global conglomerates. So
it's surprising.
They certainly have a broad spectrum of products to offer.
Why you wouldn't hear commercials on Viacom or Clear Channel radio stations promoting outdoor? I mean,
you'd
think they would come the other way. And, of course, if there are any Clear Channel or Viacom Outdoor executives listening, you can call me directly for how to advertise on the advertising show. Just in the short 1 minute we have left, Ray, did you have any follow-up questions for Diane? I had one that just came up through an email.
I think it's important to recognize, too, how valuable outdoor can be, whether you're in a small market or a large market, too. It can be just as effective. I think go to the website and remember that you can find a lot of useful information at OAAA.org, and keep it simple. That seven-word concept is something good to remember.
I think the other thing I'd like to echo is you don't always have to have a board on a major thoroughfare. I mean, in a lot of cases, a secondary street, a surface street, as they call it, for many advertisers, using outdoor is perfectly fine. The freeway is not for every outdoor advertiser. Would you agree with that, Diane?
Absolutely. You know, flexibility, resiliency, I mean, that's what makes outdoor work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really can fit whatever it is your needs are. Brand you have.
Diane Simony is our special guest. Diane, thank you for being a part of the show today. We had fun, as always.
Loved it.
Thank you. Thanks for being a part of the
advertising
show. We are going to be back here in just a moment. Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. Stick around. There's more to come.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
What is this, a sleepwalking contest? Where's your last jab? Come on, kid. Wake up.
Hey, I needed that.
If you need waking up,
Good example of a radio commercial then being a TV commercial that all you have to do is say, thanks, I needed that, and you get the message.
Right.
Great for men in Skin Bracer from many years ago. Back on the advertising show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth as we wrap up this hour of conversation. There's still more to come, so no, don't leave.
Yeah.
Okay, good, sit down. There you go. Advertising show. By the way, if you want to find out more, go to OAAA.org. That's the Outdoor Advertising Association of America. On the way on the 19th, we've got Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5 out of Westport, Connecticut. And Patrick is a really unique person. He is you'd call him an advertising agency, but what he does is he takes it five steps and looks at a whole bunch of stuff before he actually comes up with your campaign and how to execute it. He was one of the guys that helped design the brand campaign for the Ford Focus.
Exactly, and he would tell you that he would prefer to be called a branding company instead of advertising campaign. But you're right, Ray. He has a very unique perspective. His company has a very forward way of looking at things. I'm really looking forward to that show.
And your homework is to go to fusion5.com to find out more about that before next week's show, which is Saturday, the 19th of April. And do you know who Big Lots is, by any chance?
Sure.
Have you seen Big
Lots?
Oh,
absolutely.
You ever shop there?
I have been in once. My wife makes fun of that, but yes, I have been in once.
I've never been there. I've seen the signs and everything. Ohio-based closeout retailer Big Lots launching its first national TV campaign, making it yet another major player in an already tight retail environment, hence Kmart. Goodbye. Big Lots, with 1,350 stores, 45 states, has completed a two-year program of converting its properties. Now, I do remember Pick and Save, McFrugal's, Odd Lots into one brand.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart. Big Lots picks up merchandise from some 3,000 manufacturers of toys, furniture, gifts, housewares, consumables, and seasonal products. At a time when department stores are reeling under the pressure from discounters such as Walmart and Target, and consumers are expecting big discounts, Big Lots is upping the ante by claiming its prices are 20 to 40% lower than discount stores. So that's 70% below traditional retailers, and the point is, can you actually believe that that's true?
Well, I came home with some liquid soap from Big Lots.
Yes.
And my wife said, do we need that large of a container?
Oh, it's
one of those deals where they'll sell you the larger versions of something that normally...
The Sam's Club concept.
It's kind of like that, but it's not the... At least the one I went in was not the large warehouse store. Last hour, we mentioned a couple versions of the Tonight Show with Jay Leno headlines. I'm going to do one more before we get out of here today, Ray. The Spring Bible Conference on May 7th and 8th, which is already passed, at the Clarion Hotel in Alexandria, Louisiana. They had apparently a conference located in the grand ballroom there at the hotel, and apparently they were trying to appeal to a bunch of men, I guess, because the evangelist that day,
yes,
Jack Daniels. Says it right here, Jack Daniels. So I guess that was a good idea.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Can you imagine a guy that's an evangelist named Jack Daniels?
No.
I wonder if he's also a member of AA.
I don't know.
That's a funny thing.
What are we doing here? We're
recapturing
our youth. I just realized how accustomed I've become to the meditative whisper of my Train XLI cooling system. That variable speed motor makes it really quiet, huh? Let's go. But I thought we were recapturing our youth. That's why plastic surgery was invented.
Let's say what you want to
Must be some air conditioner. The Train XLI. It's hard to stop a train. Visit us at www.train.com.
Well, according to Nielsen Media Research and Scarborough Research, they think they have the answer. The two companies are jointly marketing a new ad sales software, Ray, called Nielsen Profiler. Now, this software apparently links the databases of Scarborough's qualitative research program with local TV ratings from the Nielsen Station Index Service. And they claim that if you're trying to find out, for example, if luxury car buyers who eat at McDonald's and go to the movies once a week are watching your newscast, they claim the profile software can tell you that. The joint effort stemmed from an ongoing collaboration by the two companies under which Nielsen serves as a representative of sorts of four Scarborough products to its station clients. For those that aren't aware, Scarborough is jointly owned by VNU, which is the company that owns Nielsen, and
right.
Arbitron. They,
right.
they jointly own that. So, you know, when you take qualitative data and mix it in with audience ratings, I suppose you could come up with that. That's for somebody else to decide whether they can actually get that kind of qualitative matched up with audience ratings.
I think specificity, in ratings and what goes on there.
It's got to be a good thing.
Good idea. It can't be bad. I still question the concept of one ratings company. You know, I don't mind conglomerates every now and then, but one, that's kind of interesting because you remember it used to be Birch Scarborough.
Exactly.
Before that, who else was there
back when? Years ago, you had Hooper.
Yeah.
And, Hooper was telephone survey.
Right.
Hello, what are you listening to right now?
Yeah.
I'm watching the TV,
I'm eating dinner. Go away.
Yeah.
See, that gets into a whole different thing called telemarketing and do not call.
Right.
Right. That would totally void that concept, too. It's been fun today talking with Diane Simony, president and media strategist at Simony Enterprises, and with the Outdoor Advertising Association of America. Remember, go to OAAA.org to find out more. This is a crucial thing to know what you're doing if you're getting into the outdoor advertising strategy. Next week, the 19th, it's Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5 out of Westport. We're going to learn a lot about strategy and all that kind of cool stuff, media and strategy, too, as we said with Diane. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe on the SSI Radio Network.